Donald Trump comes back to town tonight as controversy dogs his campaign. Good morning, live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can watch video on demand segments of this show every day with our partner, TVJax.com. And just ahead, we'll take your calls on Donald Trump's rally in Jacksonville tonight and some protests, too. Get on the line now with your thoughts at 549-2937. Then later, a bit of a setback in local efforts to create a tech and digital hub for Jacksonville. Plus, it's an important checklist if you've got a child entering kindergarten this month. We'll tell you about it. All of that ahead. But first this hour, Donald Trump comes back to town tonight. He will rally at the Veterans Memorial Arena. Trump's return to Jacksonville comes on the heels of a series of controversies in recent days over his comments about the family of a slain soldier, the issue of workplace harassment, his refusal to endorse some of his Republican colleagues, and more. This morning, we are taking a closer look with two representatives from the Jacksonville Young Voters Coalition as we welcome Republican Walker Ellison. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Democrat Meredith O'Malley Johnson.
Good morning.
And here's our question to callers. What are your thoughts about Donald Trump's rally in Jacksonville tonight at the Veterans Memorial Arena? We're also hearing there will be some protests outside the arena. Where do you stand? Who will you vote for? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show, and we're already getting lots of your comments on Facebook. Walker Ellison, let's begin with you. You're a young Republican and a recent member of the Jacksonville Young Voters Coalition, seeking to get more young people in Jacksonville engaged in the political process. Certainly this election season, people are engaged. They are motivated either for their like of a candidate or their dislike of the other party's candidate. Let's begin by getting your thoughts. As Donald Trump comes to town tonight, he will have strong support from lots of conservative voters around this region. At the same time, there will be some protests outside pointing out what they see are Donald Trump's issues of temperament, comments he's made that have become increasingly controversial. What's your reaction to those who say that Trump is just temperamentally unsuited for the presidency?
It's been very interesting this past run-up, and I wouldn't say that all conservatives are excited about Donald Trump. There's been a lot that definitely have not been excited about it, but are willingly supporting him.
And you're one of them.
Yes, I am.
Right. And why are you supporting Donald Trump?
I'm supporting Donald Trump along with the idea that many conservatives have, and it is not a hatred, but a dislike for Hillary Clinton. And so we see the Supreme Court nominees as something that's very important this election. So in order to keep conservative ideals, the Supreme Court nominees are very, very important.
And so for you, your vote really comes down to that one issue. Is that fair to say, the Supreme Court?
Yeah, there are other issues, I would say, but mostly the main issue is the Supreme Court.
Okay, and it's 549-2937 as we preview Donald Trump's rally tonight in Jacksonville. Meredith O'Malley-Johnson, what about that? Because this election cycle, we're seeing an extraordinary amount of passion on both sides. People motivated to vote not so much for a candidate, but against the other one. And there are plenty of people that will be voting this November based on their dislike of your preferred candidate, Hillary Clinton. On the other hand, we are going to see a lot of anti-Trump votes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just amazing the dislike of these candidates by the public. But I am still shocked that Trump was nominated by the Republicans. They had a lot of good candidates to choose from, and only 9% of the electorate voted in these elections to elect Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump as the nominees. So it's just a lack of civic participation. And really problematic when you think about Trump's attitude towards many different things. His temperament, I find, of great concern. The Supreme Court nominees are also a concern for me as well. So obviously I'm going to vote Democrat and vote for Hillary Clinton this year.
And Walker, let me ask you, now you mentioned that for you it comes down to conservative ideals. What would you say to, in recent days, we've seen prominent Republicans who've supported past candidates like John McCain and Mitt Romney coming out and publicly saying they not only will they not support Donald Trump, they will campaign and fundraise against him for a Democrat, Hillary Clinton. We've seen Sally Bradshaw, top aide to former Governor Jeb Bush, say that. Today we're learning that Hewlett-Packard CEO, former eBay CEO Meg Whitman, she's a billionaire and a fundraiser for Republicans. She's going to fundraise for Hillary Clinton. And they're citing these recent incidents where Trump has become embroiled in controversy, his tiff with a Gold Star family, his remarks in recent days about a Purple Heart, and many other issues in recent days. So what would you say to your fellow Republicans who are calling on folks in their party to denounce Donald Trump?
The funny thing is that I don't think that is Donald Trump's goal. Donald Trump's goal is not to get them on his side, but rather the opposite, to get them to be against him and to show really everyone and really his base that he is anti-establishment. Who is the establishment? It's these people. And so I think many people in the base admire that. They don't necessarily like John McCain. They don't like Paul Ryan. And so they like that anger that he has against them.
And do you share that? Do you feel that the Republican leadership has not delivered on your priorities? In what way?
Well, I would say when it comes down to many of the issues this past go-around, if you look at different cases on Obamacare, you look at the TPP, you look at many different issues that Congress has voted on, they have not sided with the base that has elected them.
Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, Meredith, at the Democratic convention, supporters of Bernie Sanders vocally made their feelings known about what they saw as a sellout, a pandering to establishment forces in the nomination of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I think on both sides, we're definitely seeing disenfranchisement of a large, like people feeling disenfranchised by a large number of voters and that their voice isn't being heard. And with our institutions the way they are, it's not really set up to really have a third-party system. So unfortunately, we're kind of stuck with the establishment right now, and a lot of people are really upset on both sides. Bernie Sanders supporters are a great example. He by far brought the most young people into the fold in this election cycle, which is good, but we're still seeing a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters that are unhappy. But, you know, Hillary
And we're
Clinton,
hearing they will be out in protest tonight.
Yeah, I've
Veterans
heard of at least
Arena.
Three different protests being organized. We know that some rogue artists were out last night putting up stickers and posters with quotes from Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un, I believe, and, you know, several people that like Donald Trump and want him to be elected president who are considered great enemies of this country.
Okay, lots of calls as we speak with Republican Walker Ellison and Democrat Meredith O'Malley Johnson of the JACS Young Voters Coalition, a vibrant organization seeking to get more people under 40 engaged in the political process. And we want your engagement right now as we go to the phones. What are your thoughts about Donald Trump rallying in Jacksonville tonight? Where do you stand? Give us a call at 549-2937. John on the South Side. Hi, John. How are you today?
Hi, very good.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a first-time caller, and I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I'm a young voter fitting in the demographic.
Okay.
But I, as much as Donald Trump is bad, I'm a Democrat. And as bad as Donald Trump is, what we've seen from the DNC emails that have been leaked by WikiLeaks is a corruption of the institution that's frankly scary. And I wonder if Hillary Clinton may be just as bad, but in a different way. Sure, Donald Trump may be incompetent and all this and blah, 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 but Hillary Clinton seems to have corrupted an entire institution in her favor, given that Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the former head, was her former campaign manager in 2008. I'll take my answer off it.
Okay. Thanks, John. Meredith.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair criticism. I was not happy with the way our primary elections were handled either. Even as a Hillary Clinton supporter, I think confidence in our institutions, in our voting institutions, is extremely important. And I'm glad that Debbie Wasserman Schultz stepped down as the head of the DNC. And I hope that the Democratic Party is going to take major action to make sure this doesn't happen again in the future and to get that trust back from the voters. Because, you know, I agree. It's not okay if there's people that don't trust the system and if there was some kind of fraud going on.
And on the other hand, Walker, what about the controversy over Donald Trump's comments? Because as we learned, there is evidence to show that Russia hacked the DNC emails. Trump was accused in some quarters of treason by actively calling on a foreign power to get into Hillary Clinton's emails. What about that controversy, that half of it?
Well, I'm not sure about the legal ramifications for what he said. But once again, there's the base, and that's who he is catering towards, and they cater towards Russia. Yeah, it's kind of funny, but that's who the base caters to. And they love the strength that Putin carries. And so when he says, Russia, you should go ahead and hack the emails, then that's actually, you know, rallying up the base. And they love that stuff. So as far as whether the legal ramifications, I'm not sure about. But once again, it's just catering to his base. And I think he came out and, you know, basically said I was joking or something like that.
Any comment back?
I mean, it's just, to me, it's just, every day there's something new that's crazy. I mean, I don't want this person president of our country who's going to be saying this stuff and riling up, even maybe starting wars. I mean, if he said some of this stuff as president of the United States, I just worry what could happen.
All right.
I think it's terrifying.
We want to know your thoughts right now. John in Springfield, lots of Johns on the line today, people named John. John in Springfield. Go ahead, John. Hey, John.
Good morning, Melissa, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm voting for Trump, and it really gets back, you know, to the establishment. And, you know, it's throughout the country, and it's really both parties. And that other John on the South side, you know, alluded to the fact that, you know, there is a real breakdown in our institutions. And I would be curious as to your panel and what civic actions they've taken locally in our local politics by showing up and speaking to various council ordinances, you know, with exorbitant spending associated with it.
Okay. Thanks, John. And the Jax Young Voters Coalition is an organization trying to get more people involved in the process. What do you guys have to say about the coalition?
Yeah, well, last year, our membership, which we have about 500 members, voted on the top three issues we'd be looking at this year and encouraging our members to support and go to city council. And the first one was the human rights ordinance. Young people, by a huge margin, support expand the human rights ordinance to protect people from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity expression. Protecting the river was one, which was interesting because that was actually really close to almost tied with dredging the river to expand the port. So interesting play on that one. And then also infrastructure improvements. That was another big thing. So those were the things that young voters in Jacksonville that we surveyed cared about. So we're going to be focusing on those issues. The budget, of course, city spending is an issue right now. The pension referendum.
Are you taking a position on the pension referendum?
We're not, but we are going to put out information that shows both sides of this issue so people can make their decision, which is what we did with the city council races, too. Just, you know, put the positions side by side, let the voters make their decision based on their own values and their own feelings.
Okay. Steve is on the South side this morning. Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. This is going to be for your Republican representative there. And let me first say that I do admire your honesty, that to you the election seems to be more about the Supreme Court nominees than anything else. But I would challenge you to tell me, beyond Trump's rhetoric, which seems to be self-contradictory either within the same day or the same sentence, what has Donald Trump done in his personal or his private life or as a company, either in funding or backing whatever causes, that would give you any reason to believe that he's for gun rights or that he's pro-life or that he would actually nominate Supreme Court justices that would be conservative? I mean, actually, what has he done in his life that gives you a basis to believe that?
Walker.
Well, I think the sentiment is that he's not Hillary Clinton. And so when you go to the election booth and the choices are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, we know what Hillary will do. And so if it's an oddball with Donald Trump, then I'm going to go with the oddball.
What about his question to you, though, that people that don't believe that he would actually follow through on conservative pledges that he's been making on the campaign trail, that he doesn't really believe, that he's not really a movement conservative?
Well, I think he's listed his candidates that he to put up for the Supreme Court. And so, and regardless of whether he follows through on that, politicians lie. They always do. And so it's something that we have to weigh when we do vote. But once we know, once again, that the other side is putting up Hillary Clinton, the obvious solution is the other side.
And the prominent Republicans that are joining her campaign, and I'm quoting from them, saying that they just have deep-seated concerns about his stability and his fitness for office. That doesn't sway you?
No.
Yeah, that does. And Meredith, do you have anything to add?
Well, no. I do think Hillary Clinton is very qualified, as many have said, probably the most qualified to ever run for president. She is a known quantity, liker or hater, and we know what we can expect from her, and we know that she is capable of leading.
What would you say, though, to those who might not like Donald Trump, but they don't, they just don't feel that Hillary Clinton is honest and trustworthy? That is, you see that in the polling over and over again, and of course you disagree with that. But what would you say to those who feel they don't like their choices this year because they maybe they don't think Donald Trump is fit for office, but they also have reservations about ethical questions in Hillary Clinton's record?
Well, I have faith in our democracy to hold elected officials accountable. And I think there's, you know, a level of transparency on the national, state, and local level that if you really have concerns about that, that I do think the institutional holder accountable. But I just think 30 years of, you know, conservative attacks on Hillary Clinton has definitely, you know, some of them are fair, some of them aren't. And I just think it's really gotten in people's minds that this woman is just horrible. And I think if you look at her record, if you watch her speech, I mean, she's a human being. These people aren't perfect. I mean, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton definitely aren't two perfect candidates. I just think it's sad that we have to have these conversations where it's like one side's voting against the other person, one side's voting against, a lot of people aren't voting for someone this election cycle. Mm-hmm. And I do, going back to that question about what can change all this, is changing the electoral system, changing how we vote, you know, like ranked voting systems, which would create more of a parliamentary democracy. I think those would be really good things for our democracy. I don't think our founding fathers meant to have a two-party system.
And if you're just tuning in, lots of calls, emails, tweets, Facebook comments as Donald Trump comes to Jacksonville Veterans Arena tonight. Andrew on the South Side. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, thanks.
I've always listened to the show, and I always have my reservations about Hillary. I also have a lot of reservations about Trump, but, you know, what? I don't really want to vote for Hillary, but I definitely don't want to vote for Trump for the fact that everyone's always talking about around my neighborhood about how he plans to take away the assistance for the community, public assistance, food stamps, disability. I'm filing for disability, and it's a lot harder for me to get on disability because I'm physically limited to what I can do. And with him riling up on the TV and being a reality show personality, he brings that to a lot of the debates and going after everyone, talking about how he has all this money and yet he's making it easier for the richer people instead of the people who are economic, who are trying to survive day to day, paycheck to paycheck. You know, Mark, what can I expect if Trump gets into office over Hillary? Because I'd rather vote for Bill Clinton instead of Hillary Clinton, but that's just me.
All right, Andrew. Thanks for the call. And of course, both campaigns are trying to reach out to voters that feel they've been left behind in this economy, but in very different ways. Walker.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Trump's stance is on disability. And
well, what about the controversy where he was at a rally and you even see it in a campaign
yes.
ad that he mocked a reporter with a disability. I think that's what the caller was. I'm not sure, but I think he was referring to that.
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump is going to take away your disabilities. But I think a lot of the things, as I've stated before, a lot of the things of what Donald Trump is trying to do is Donald Trump is trying to create a platform and an atmosphere where he can say whatever he wants to say. It's an anti-PC environment, and that's what he is trying to create, that anti-PC environment.
I don't understand that the PC stuff. I just don't fully get it because I just feel like, you know, common decency is important. And being PC, to me, that's, you know, just treat people the way you want to be treated. I don't understand it.
Meredith in Atlantic Beach. Go ahead, Meredith.
Hi, just a really simple statement and question. In case it escaped anyone's notice, Walker, the Republican there, just said, quote, candidates lie. We all are used to that. So I'm getting sick of no one giving Hillary any leeway. If that's the way we feel, we with a capital W, then why are we all attacking Hillary constantly and not Trump? That's it. I'll take my answer off there. Thanks.
Okay. Is Hillary Clinton being held to a double standard?
No, I think Donald Trump is being attacked for lying as well. I mean, look at his speech at the RNC. Numerous articles that I read, you know, fact-checking the whole thing, and, you know, half of it, 80%, 90%, it's all false. Numerous times he has used hyperbole and, you know, misleading statements, all kinds of stuff. So I don't think it's a double standard there that we attack Hillary.
So you think voters are being equally tough on him for what they perceive to be dishonest
absolutely.
Remarks?
Absolutely. And even more tough, I would say.
Meredith.
I've seen some pretty misogynistic memes on Facebook and Twitter lately that there is a different component to it that I think we've seen in the past. I feel like we saw the same thing with President Obama. There is, you know, the people who don't support him, there does seem to be some discriminatory feelings towards them, maybe because of who he is as a person of color and towards Hillary Clinton as a woman. I think we've definitely seen that, and it's very evident.
Okay. Well, two really valid and interesting points of view here, which I so appreciate you joining us both this morning. Now, as to tonight, Donald Trump will rally at 7 p.m. at Veterans Arena. Mayor Curry has indicated he will be at the rally. There will be protests outside the rally. Are you going to the protests, Meredith? And Walker, are you going to the rally?
I will be at the rally.
You're going. And will you be protesting?
I don't think so. I'm kind of on the fence at this point. Some of the violence outside the Trump rallies has made me nervous. And I just encourage everybody to be safe and be nice to your fellow humans tonight.
Okay. Thank you both so much for joining us. Meredith O'Malley-Johnson and Walker Ellison, both members of the Jacksonville Young Voters Coalition. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thank you.
Much more still ahead later. An important checklist for your child entering kindergarten this month. But up next, layoffs in the local tech sector. What it means for Jacksonville's efforts to become a digital hub. Back in a moment.
Legal and political segments on First Coast Connect, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah.
As Florida school districts prepare students for success in a global knowledge-based economy, how does arts education factor into the plan? Join WJCT for Community Thread, The Politics of Arts Education, as we explore this issue and how advocates are working to ensure that diverse perspectives are represented in the development of new arts policies. Log on to wjct.org/communitythread to submit your questions or to RSVP to be a part of our studio audience on August 4th.
This program is underwritten by the Ann McDonald Baker Family Foundation.
On the next Jazz Night in America, exploring DIY jazz with music from the DC Jazz Festival.
It's donation-based shows for the most part. All the money from the door goes to the artists. It's just really just an open, inclusive situation for artists and musicians.
I'm Christian McBride. Join us on the next Jazz Night in America.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Hello, I'm Mayor Lenny Curry. It's hurricane season. Are you Jacks ready? Learn more about how you can keep yourselves and your family safe during a storm. Download the 2016-2017 City of Jacksonville Preparedness Guide today at jacksready.com and tune in to 89.9, the area's official emergency broadcast station.
It's not pleasant to think about, but sex trafficking happens right here.
There were definitely times where somebody could have noticed that there was something not right and made a call while I was being trafficked.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Hotels and companies training their people to spot the victims. That is next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, part of Jacksonville's technology ecosystem has been shut down, with 40 workers being laid off recently. The local firm Adecco let go 26 corporate employees, but they also shut down the downtown Ignite Lab. It's seen as something of a setback for a city trying to generate private sector growth in digital technology and innovation. Don Capener is dean of the Jacksonville University Davis College of Business and joins us now with his thoughts. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Thanks for being with us. And to our callers, what are your thoughts about Jacksonville's efforts to create an East Coast mini Silicon Valley-style tech hub? What do you see as opportunities and challenges? We'll go to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. Adecco laying off 26 employees and shutting down the tech lab Ignite. What were your thoughts when you heard that news?
Well, of course, it's disappointing because we do want an entrepreneurial environment here that rivals anyone else in the Southeast, and comes on the heels of hearing the, you know, finally hearing that Amazon is going to be create a hub for the Southeast here, a distribution center. We've had lots of good news in the sense of folks recognizing us as maybe not a first tier, but a second tier entrepreneurial, a positive environment, an ecosystem that's one that would be admired by a lot of other cities.
Sure. And we've seen a lot of progress in recent years. So I guess for every step forward, there might be a step back. Ignite's closure came on the heels of CoLab Jax, another facility that shut its doors. So what do you think's driving that?
Well, I think that much like we saw with OneSpark, you know, there's two steps forward and a lot of jubilation and positive thoughts, and then there's not necessarily a business model that works. And in the case of Ignite, my understanding is that there was a lot of investment and excitement about the idea of separating this unit from the main company, creating a lab that would then create solutions that would help Adecco find and facilitate the hiring of more employees for their clients. And that really didn't materialize. I think after the first year or two, some of the best people, Sean Paley, who served as the president for Ignite, I knew Eleanor Vasovic and some other key employees there, talk with them. They even spoke at JU's Davis College of Business, and yet, you know, the business model, they weren't providing, obviously, the kind of value that made them sustainable.
What is a model that is sustainable? What can we learn from other cities that have developed this type of sector?
One of the things is that the focus on having all parts of the ecosystem sort of firing. If it was an engine, all the pistons would be firing, and that's from upstream to downstream. And upstream, of course, not only is the ideas but the funding that's behind those ideas. And I think we lack some of the top-tier cities in terms of providing opportunities, exposure to angel investors, venture capitalists,
and that was
others.
The whole point of OneSpark.
Definitely.
Which has taken a big hit.
Yes.
So what does Jacksonville do now?
So I think it's an opportunity for a lot of us in the entrepreneurial area to kind of shore up what we think are the most important underpinnings to a great entrepreneurial environment. And for the universities, both University of North Florida and Jacksonville University, we need to take a big role in being able to not only help our own students, but help those in the community have an environment where they have a runway rather than it's just succeed or fail, that they have an environment, kind of like a petri dish. It's safe for them to be able to develop some ideas. And so we're talking about a lot of different ways to do that and even collaborate with UNF together on a...
perish the thought.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, as we continue to hear about how you'll be doing that, let's take a few of your calls right now as we speak with Don Capener, Dean of JU's Davis College of Business. Some tech workers got laid off recently. How can we continue to grow this sector in Jacksonville? The number to join us, 549-2937. Richard is on the south side. Hi, Richard. Good morning.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
So I work for a large unnamed national and international bank, and I can tell you that there is no appetite for employing tech people that are basically citizens. So on that regard, the businesses aren't looking for domestic. They're looking for H-1B. They're looking for contractors. And another front that makes it difficult is I've looked for relevant courses for continuing education, and I just don't find them. You know, there's endless how to use Windows courses, but those are not the kind of technical thing that are of use to me in the technical world.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that.
Well, you bring up some good points. It is often hard to find. A lot of people talk about job openings as a data scientist, but to get the qualifications, of course, in some cases requires years of both computer science, business analytics training, other things. But I can say that it's not as dark maybe as you might paint the picture. Certainly there are folks coming from overseas and as you say, taking some of those job openings. But I think there's still lots of positive opportunity for folks with tech skills. We're seeing from our end a big interest in our new business analytics program, and which marries computer science and business. I believe other top universities, University of Florida and others, are doing similar things. So I think there are opportunities there to find some of those courses. I certainly know there are more certificates out there available online. And so I see it as a little rosier than our caller, though.
Okay. And 549-2937, here's a tweet for you from David. The culture here is all wrong. We need the city to be fiber optic. We need colleges to back the sector, and we need cheaper housing. Is the culture in Jacksonville just not conducive to growing tech and innovation?
When I was hired in 2011, I'm originally from San Diego. You know, I felt like there wasn't an entrepreneurial vibe really going here. And there was Cowork Jax just starting at the time, and Elton Rivas and others who started that, and that really had kind of a cool vibe. But outside of that and some of the folks connected with that, it was hard to find that. So I think it's fair that we've had to come a long way. So we came from a relatively low level. But I think that a lot of neat things are happening. There are some really great startups who have gained traction in the last few years. And I really
Which ones would you point to?
Well, one of our alum, Matt Cain, he has a software company that focuses on Green Shades software, which focuses on preparing tax stuff for folks. They've been successful. I know there's been also some folks who in the applications area have been able to be successful. And you know, I think even though OneSpark has taken a big step back, I think given some of the things they did that initially, I think it really brought a lot of momentum and interest to this area.
Yeah. And you mentioned a moment ago that you are currently looking at ways both JU and UNF can better support ideas, entrepreneurs. How do you see that going forward?
Well, there are a couple of ideas that are being discussed right now. One of them is to actually provide either free or highly discounted office space and an environment
on the campus,
which would be co-sponsored potentially between the two universities, or would also provide that kind of I'll call it a protective environment for a few months and help them get traction. So myself and the dean of the Coggins School of Business, Mark Dawkins, have discussed these things, but nothing's been formalized yet. But we're seriously talking about supporting that and supporting not just our students but others in the community.
Where would this office space go? Where would we see it?
Ideally, we've talked about downtown into coalesce around the idea of making more things happen downtown, bringing more young people, bringing more Jacksonville University folks and UNF folks downtown, and invigorating and providing some more folks in and around the downtown area.
And so this would be low to no cost office space sponsored by our two major universities in downtown Jacksonville, so that a startup could have a place to work.
Certainly, that's one of the things that we've talked about. Another one is providing seminars and no cost or low cost actual instruction on how to start up a company that would be powered by some of the faculty members and key staff members from both our colleges, and so that's another thing that we've talked about.
And if that can get some traction, how do you see that changing the city?
Well, certainly it's going to add to the entrepreneurial vibe that I said is so important. Secondly, I think it will show that rather than try and just create a university-specific model on our campus, that we're an open source, available to the entire community in terms of being a resource for entrepreneurs out there. And I know Carlton Robison also, who heads the Jack's Bridges program over at the Chamber, is very supportive of this idea, and we've talked about ways that we could collaborate also to make really it more powerful in terms of connecting with more people.
You'll have to keep us posted on this.
I certainly will.
And we thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Don Kapener, Dean of the JU Davis College of Business, with us, and we'll be right back.
Kids can't vote, but you can. School board elections are August 30th, and your voice matters. Candidate forums are August 8th and 9th. Learn more about open seats and candidates at schoolboard2016.org.
Ami Eubanks Davis thought her job was done when her hardworking students graduated from college. But then she watched as they failed to get into the professional world.
They weren't getting those skills and access to networks simply because of who they were born to and where they were born.
So she decided to do something about it. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Calling all educators, WJCT and Community First are proud to present the 4th Annual Teach Conference, an event created by teachers to engage, empower, and inspire teachers. Saturday, October 8th at the Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Tickets are only $30. Spend the day sharing ideas with colleagues, learning new ways to engage students, and empowering yourself to inspire others. Bring a friend and get your tickets now. WJCT.org/teach.
Sam Brody gets why so many people are moving to the Houston metro area.
You move to this area and you're like, cool, I have a water view. This is a great place to be.
Plus, good jobs, great schools. But there's a catch.
The last thing you think about is 20 feet of water coming up here.
On the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Jeffrey Toobin, who wrote the definitive book about the O.J. Simpson trial, has a new book about Patricia Hearst, the newspaper heiress who in 1974 was kidnapped by the incoherent radical group the SLA, the Symbionese Liberation Army. On the next Fresh Air, Toobin talks about Hearst's kidnapping and trial and where they fit in the culture and politics of the 70s. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, if you love Pokemon Go and public radio, show us on Instagram. It's our I Love WJCT contest. Now, every Friday, we are publishing our favorite Instagrams of the week with the hashtag I Love WJCT. We're putting in them in our newsletter first read, our online e-newsletter. So here's what we want you to do if you're on Instagram. Be creative. This week's theme is Pokemon and public radio. Show us how you love both with a cute Instagram and make sure that you use the hashtag ILoveWJCT. We will publish the winner in our first read. Subscribe to that at WJCTnews.org. Well, finally, this hour, that exciting day is approaching that your child is ready to start kindergarten. Maybe you're getting the right lunchbox, worrying if they'll make friends, will they like their teacher, and all of those concerns. But you might not have considered that your child might also have a problem with their speech and hearing. That can be a hidden issue that can sometimes cause kids to struggle in school. Dot Bourgeois is a certified speech pathologist with the Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center, and she's got an important checklist right now for every child entering kindergarten this month. Dot, good to see you.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. And this is important because a lot of parents have no idea until their child gets in school that they might have an issue with this.
That's right. They can kind of sneak up on parents if they're not really paying attention and know what to look for.
Mm-hmm. And what is the checklist? You want every parent to be aware of this this month who has a young child. There are some important checklist items they need to be looking at.
Yes. So when your child's getting ready to go to kindergarten, they need to be speaking in really complex, complete sentences. Their speech needs to be mostly clear, just maybe still with a couple of errors. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to follow classroom directions with multiple steps. And they understand words like first, next, last, and using
yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They should understand what that means.
Yes.
And they need to say, this is interesting, they need to say all speech sounds in words. What does that mean?
So their speech should sound pretty adult. They shouldn't have mistakes in the word, maybe calling it a tat instead of a cat.
Mm-hmm. Things like that. Yeah,
things
getting
like
the consonants
that.
Wrong.
Yes.
What about a lisp? What if a child has a lisp?
And really at kindergarten, that would be a good time to start looking at a lisp, to start therapy. If you're not able to say sounds correctly, it can be difficult to learn how to read those sounds correctly.
And what's important to explain is that if your child is struggling with this stuff, they will probably not be reading and learning on grade level if it's not dealt with. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So if you can't understand language, then you're going to have difficulty reading language. So you really need to improve your communication skills before you're able to learn how to read.
Something else that I've come to understand in talking with the Speech and Hearing Center is that some kids aren't hearing very well, and their parents don't even when you're around your child every day, you might not realize that could be an issue for your child.
That's true. So if your kid is having a lot of ear infections, it's likely that when they're having that ear infection, they're not hearing well, which is going to impact their performance at school and their ability to communicate.
How does the Speech and Hearing Center work with kids who have speech disorders, communication disorders, or hearing issues? Really young children, can you give a young child a hearing aid if they need it?
They do give, we have two audiologists, and they'll do hearing tests. They do hearing tests with newborns. And they definitely start giving hearing aids to young children, mm-hmm. and then the speech pathologists usually then evaluate after that and provide therapy.
And when you were 4 years old, you were diagnosed with a speech disorder, so you really get this at in a fundamental way.
Yes. I had speech therapy, and I had it all before I started kindergarten, so I got to school, and I was ready to learn. Uh-huh. So I was speaking clearly, and I was ready to start kindergarten.
What was the issue they helped you with?
So I was doing a lot of tat for cat, but I had a ton of errors, so no one understood me, and my sister was my personal translator.
Oh, really? Do they know what causes that in kids?
We know that there are risk factors. So we know, like with speech, lots of ear infections is a risk factor, some misaligned teeth, and there can be some genetic components to some of these things. So if a parent had a speech disorder, it increases the likelihood that their child may have a similar disorder.
How do you work with a child to sort of correct those tics and speech tics that they can often have?
So on those sounds like that, it really just comes down to explicitly showing them, you know, where to put your tongue in your mouth, and then practice and slowly ramping it up from really simple to doing it in conversation. Mm-hmm. So a lot of practice.
Now, the Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center is a nonprofit organization. How can parents access this treatment, particularly if they can't maybe afford to pay out of pocket?
So we have a lot of different options. We accept pretty much all of the forms of Medicaid that are out there. And we have a lot of donors that allow us to provide services to people who are uninsured or mm-hmm. that really cannot afford services. Mm-hmm. They can visit our website, which is shcjax.org.
Okay. And anything else on the checklist? Because this is a really good time for parents to sort of sit down and assess their child's readiness for kindergarten, particularly kids who might not have been in VPK or daycare. For a fairly significant number of children, this is their first entry into a school environment.
It can be. I think probably the biggest thing to look at is your kid's ability to follow those classroom directions. If you see they're gonna struggle with sitting in their chair and understanding the directions, there's probably you can be concerned and start trying to look for help, whether it's from a speech pathologist or from somewhere else.
How can a speech pathologist help a child who just won't sit still and take directions, though? That's interesting.
Well, not necessarily that they won't sit still, but when they're not under, sometimes it's not it's that they don't understand what you're telling them. Uh-huh. So when they don't understand, then they just go do whatever they want, because it's such a challenge to sit there and try and listen to the message that you're giving them.
And is there an age limit for children to come start working with you?
No.
How young do you work? How young are your children?
I mean, I get referrals that are a year old. Really, most of our kids, we might start working with them between 2 and 3 years of age.
Wow. And it's that time of year. So if you have a child who's getting ready to go into kindergarten, you need to make sure that you've gone through the checklist from the Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center. Do they have difficulty pronouncing certain sounds? Do they have difficulty understanding what's being said to them? Do they know their letters? Do they stutter? Do they understand words for time, like yesterday, today, tomorrow? Do they say all speech sounds in words? Do they talk without repeating sounds or words? Can they name letters and numbers? All part of the checklist for kids entering kindergarten. And if you think you've got an issue with your child, get in touch with the Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center and schedule some therapy for your child so that they can be performing at grade level this school year. She is Dot Bourgeois, a certified speech pathologist with the Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center. And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
That's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. We have podcasts up every day at iTunes and Stitcher and video on demand with our partner TVJax.com. Check it out there. Next on Diane Rehm, the CDC has issued an unprecedented travel warning for part of Miami, where more than 10 new cases of the Zika virus have been confirmed. What's causing that virus to spread in one South Florida neighborhood and how officials are responding? That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.